Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and I'm so glad to be here today. And this show is really going to be about love. So many women are incredibly savvy about business and about so much in their lives, and yet when it comes to love, they're drawing a blank, or they're going from relationship looking for the wrong guys or dating the wrong guys. And so we're going to shed some light on this, because it's really important, I think, for people to be able to, especially bright, interesting, loving people who are ready to share their gifts and share their love and be in an intimate relationship. It's so important for these women to be able to find out what they need to about love. And we're going to kind of look at that more closely with someone very special whose birthday is on the same day as mine. Imagine that. And we learned about that just by emailing. And this is Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, who is an author, a nationally honored psychologist, and a licensed clinical social worker. And Dr. Leslie Beth specializes in women's issues in love, life, and work. She has a deeply felt concern and a care about women's love and work issues, which truly comes through in the guidance that she gives for today's women. And we're going to talk about her study, because LB, as people call her, and I'm going to call her that on the show if she doesn't mind, has studied more than over 1,000 women for her research-based self-help books, The Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie and Smart Relationships. And she has some incredible findings that we're going to take a look at today about love and about intimacy. And you're going to share in these findings, because these books, and LB, you'll let me know, I think these books are just about on the market within a day or two, and they're also on Amazon. So the jewels of information that you're going to be receiving today are like hot off the press. Also, LB serves as on the medical advisory board for Quality Health Top 10 site, and she writes a weekly expert column about relationships there. The National Association of Social Workers named LB as one of the 50 who has contributed to the field. So welcome, LB, and how are you?
I am so happy to be here and to meet someone else who shares my birthday, because that means that you and I are born in a month that produces people who truly do have heartfelt care for helping other people.
And it's true, and we both do, and we're kindred spirits, which makes it great. So I'm loving the topic and the research and the idea behind this, but I love to ask guests, what was the impetus for this particular, or actually these two books, and we'll look at them separately a little bit, even though they correlate with one another. What was the impetus for writing these books and doing the research, LB, in the first place?
Well, as I tell people truly from the heart, I write and research about things that bother me, that nag at me. It's so important to me to provide really top-notch clinical services, and when I can't understand something, I head to the research. So I wanted to know why so many of today's very successful, career-minded women are very smart about work, but not love. I mean, as a clinician, of course, I had some preliminary answers from my practice, but I didn't want to do one of those books that comes out of my head or out of a very small population of people. So I did research for over 5 years and did follow-up studies. I have over 1,200 women in my study, and so that's what started it.
And were these women open to talk about their relationships and intimacy, or was that a challenge actually getting them to get involved in that?
Well, you have to assume that when you go to see a therapist, you usually don't tell them everything. So knowing that, I had lots of different ways to get my information. The one way that got me the most honest information, no surprise there, was surveys that people could do anonymously. And they were very detailed questions, and I was amazed at how many women took that survey. And that ended up giving me the most information. But, yeah, sure, I talked to my clients, I did workshops, lectures. I got as much information as I could from different sources. So, in general, yeah, it was hard to find trustworthy ways, but the survey really, really put it over the top.
And you're right. People are much more likely to respond to surveys when it's anonymous and they can sort of pour out their soul and know that somebody isn't saying, okay, this came from Jill, da-da-da-da-da. So I think that's important, and I think you get more realistic information that way as well. So let's really get to it, because we're finding, and this is in some of your research as well, that oftentimes women, and I think I'm one of those, that oftentimes women go from men who are very weak to men who are like overpowering or so strong or whatever, and they go back and forth and they're wondering, why isn't this working? What's going on with this? Why aren't I not choosing the right man? What's going on with that? Why women go back and forth and they're just not finding that middle ground?
What you're describing, I thought, this is a good lesson to people who are doing research, I thought that would be my number one dating pattern. But when you do research, you want to make sure that you don't find what you're looking for. You want to find new things. That way you know you set up your study in a way that informs you that you don't, you know, fix it in some way. So that dating pattern of flipping back and forth ended up being number three on the list. And here's what goes on. Think of a circle. It doesn't matter where you enter the circle, whether you start with a guy who's too mild or whether you start with a guy who ends up being too mean. What happens is whatever man you choose, I wouldn't say man, whatever dating pattern you get into, what happens is the relationship for numerous reasons ends up not being for you. Let's start with a man who's too mild, for example. The man is the kind of guy who you feel in the relationship is the kind of person you can tell anything to. You can tell him your secrets. He's so empathic. And so you have a relationship where the man's pattern is to kind of accommodate to you. And what happens when a crisis occurs, such as a health scare, financial problems, that's when these men often can't come through. They're not as reliable as they need to be. And soon you find that you can't trust them. So down the road a piece, you break up and you promise to yourself, I'm not going with this kind of man again. I'm going to choose someone who's really on top of his game, successful. I want that. And I should add a little asterisk there. There's nothing wrong with that kind of man. The problem is not the kind of man you chose. It's the pattern you get into in the relationship. So your first pattern of a mild man puts you more in charge. When you overcorrect your mistake, and that's the key word, overcorrect your mistake, that's when you get into the flip of the relationship and end up giving up too much control, and that man who you thought was a man of authority ends up to be a man who's authoritarian.
You know, I love how you're talking about a dating pattern, because, again, in all the work that I do and coaching and also some research, we get into patterns, whether it's patterns about love, whether it's patterns about relationships or habits that we just don't know how to break because we've done something early on with it and it becomes too comfortable. So that is key, and I love how you do that. Now, oftentimes when women, and again, this is a belief system of mine, and you can break it, which is great. When women are dating those men who are kind of too mild and too accommodating, I find from some of the women that I've spoken to that they get angry at they want somebody who, and I'm going to use the word feisty, they want somebody who's a little bit more feisty, who's a little bit more challenging in some respect, and yet also has that empathy that you were talking about. Is that true?
Yeah, you really get it. I think you've got it right on the button there. And I think also your emphasis on don't look at what type the man is. Don't take your eyes off your own behavior. You know, there are tons of books out there about, you know, is your man a snake? Is he a this or a that or, a python or a tiger? You know, that keeps your eyes somewhere else. Always keep your eyes on who you are in the relationship. So what you're saying about men who disappoint can often provoke tremendous anger and frustration in women. And they love these guys because they're so kind. And trust me, there are lots of kind guys out there who are also reliable. The danger is when a woman gets into a relationship and chooses someone whose only main strength is their ability to be empathic. And so the woman takes too much charge of the relationship. And when she gets disappointed, she gets angry, frustrated, tries to change the guy. It reminds me of that childhood story, the tales of Uncle Remo's tales about the tar baby that the rabbit tries to get a conversation out of. And, of course, the tar baby's just made of tar and isn't real. And so every time the rabbit tries to get a rise out of the tar baby, he gets stuck and nothing happens. And that's what happens in these relationships. So the goal here is not to focus on types of men, but how you are. How flexible are you? The goal here is to find your wingman, someone you trust, someone who is reliable but also empathic.
And they're out there, right?
Definitely. I've got one. He can't be the only one in the world.
So let's look at this a little more closely, because I think that we're talking, again, about very bright, savvy women, as we said earlier, who are great at work, who may be great at business, great at marketing, great at putting themselves out in so many ways, and trusting that almost instinctively and maybe through education and networking. And yet when it comes to relationships, there's a sense of trust that is missing. How do women kind of get back into trusting their choices, trusting themselves in looking for the right relationship and in finding one, LB?
Well, the first thing they have to do, you know, and this is such old advice, but it's the best advice. You've got to start with knowing who you are. There's no way to skip over that step. I wish there were some doctor you could go to and he could inject self-knowledge immediately, but it's not going to happen. So it's just not going to. You've got to get brave enough to face who you are. And I use the word brave because it's an emotionally painful journey. It can be to accept who you are, who you aren't, your missed opportunities, regrets, choices you've made or didn't make. You have to tough out the anxiety of facing your shortcomings. And if you can't do that, then you're at a tremendous disadvantage. So that's the first step. The second step is to learn how to...
Let's go back to the first step, because I think that first step, like you said, is so key. That's that self-appraisal, that looking in the mirror and finding some stuff, like you said, that may not be so pleasant. But how do you get into intimacy if you don't know that, if you can't access that information? So what are some things that women need to address when they're looking at self-appraisal when it comes to intimacy?
Well, if you really can't begin, then I strongly recommend you get professional help. But most people only go to get help at the 11 3/4 hour. So barring that, here are some other things that you can do. Begin to write a list of not only your strengths, because that's usually what people ask you to do, you know, positive affirmations, and that is important. But write down these answers to this question. What's wrong with me? Because if you don't make aware what you're dealing with in terms of those negative self-messages, then you can't fix them. I know that sounds counterintuitive and backwards, but I always ask women to start with, Why do you think you're so unlovable that you're willing to put up with mistreatment and insensitivity from your man? Why would you do that?
And you know, I think that's an important question. We don't like looking at the downside of ourselves, but you have to be able to do that. I totally agree with you. We're talking to Dr. Leslie Beth Wish and looking about her books and getting smart about love, specifically for women. And if you want to call in, our guest call-in number is 805-285-9790. We're going to continue to delve in depth into what's going on with intimacy and women and how these very bright women can get what they want in love. So what are you finding, LB, when women are looking at that question, what's wrong with me? What seems to come up more frequently? And was that part of the research?
Yes, definitely. On the surface, these are the top surprising findings that were sort of on the surface, beginning with their outside barriers. They don't trust their own judgment. They can't read men or themselves. Their anxiety levels are on the rise, and many of the women in my study were taking prescription medication for depression and anxiety. And if you have that problem, definitely see your doctor. But the number one problem they had was that they were too well defended. They almost had a 10-foot pole around them because they were so afraid that they would not be strong enough to recover from any hurts. Now, everyone gets hurt in love. If you don't put yourself out there, if you don't drop some of your guard, then you're not going to find love. Love requires vulnerability, and that was a very scary word to these women because control in their mind was the way to happiness.
So when you're talking about being afraid of vulnerability, because I totally agree with you, LB, I think vulnerability is so important, and it's a strength, not a weakness. If you can be vulnerable in love and in relationships, you really have it made. So my question is this. What age groups, because I'm thinking that it may be different for different age groups when they're looking for love, what age groups are feeling, or maybe not, are feeling more vulnerable and fearful and put that wall up, as you're saying, about love?
Well, I found in my study, that was a question I wanted to know. Was it different? Because the people in my study range from age 20 to 90.
Wow.
And when I did the raw data and looked at them, you know, person by person by person, there weren't any differences. Not really. I think if I were a single woman of, let's say, you know, 30 to 40, something like that, late 20s to early 40s, these would be some of the questions I'd be asking myself. What am I afraid of? Why do I think I can't recover from hurts? What's wrong with me that I can't do that? Secondly, love and life and career choices and where you live, what job you take, they all come with regret. You don't get through life without regret, but it's positive regret in the sense that, you know, if you go down road A, you may not be able to go down road B, but you can take access roads, you can tweak things, you can redo certain things. And I think the goal here is not to act as though you've got one life decision to make and you'd better get it right. And since there's hardly a way to find out for sure if you're finding good love without kissing a lot of frogs, then these women keep themselves too well defended. I had one woman in my study who, after she was hurt from a breakup, didn't have another date for 14 years. That's how frightened she was.
Wow. That, you know, that's amazing because that 14 years, and she could have done a lot in those 14 years. Now, you talk about some amazing findings, both findings that we would not predict and also findings that we would, you know, that make sense when we're looking at intimacy and we're looking at love. I want to look at those amazing findings that we think, oh my God, where did that come from? Is that really true? So can you name some of those?
Yes, absolutely. Here were the most dangerous findings. I was so surprised that these highly accomplished, high-achieving, highly educated women were in relationships with powerful men, men of money, authority. I call them like Santa Claus because they come with lots of goodies, you know, the fanciest apartment or condo or whatever, and second homes and even, you know, jet away vacations. I was surprised at how many of these women, and we're talking over 50% of these women as a conglomerate, experienced domestic violence, verbal and physical and sexual abuse, men absconding with their money, lying to them, cheating on them. So what happened was these women, in order to keep not only the stability and having a man, but also all the goodies, you know, the high lifestyle, they felt that erroneously. They felt that finding a man whose money and career status matched theirs was their wisest move. And sometimes, oftentimes it is, but not if the man is mistreating you. And so what surprised me was how many women stayed in relationships by over-accommodating, losing themselves, and tolerating things that they should not be tolerating.
You know, I find that true not just in women who are looking for love and are finding love in with men who are high powered and have lots of money, but I find that and there are statistics about this too, that many women who are in any kind of an abusive relationship, whether it's verbal or physical abuse, even when there's abuse bestowed on their children, they have such difficulty actually being able to leave, and they need a lot of support to be able to do that. So that may be operative too. And I'm wondering if these men are just feeling so entitled, a sense of entitlement that they feel that they deserve to mistreat somebody or whatever. And we didn't do this study on the men, but that would be interesting to take a look at too.
Well, Eleanor Roosevelt, I'm not saying the words exactly, but the gist of one of her quotes is something like, you signal your partner as to what you're willing to tolerate and accept. So that's, again, an example of how keeping your eye on yourself is more important than keeping your eye on what type of man you have. Because once you can look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm unhappy, I'm doing behaviors that are not my best self, I'm not proud of me. One of the exercises I do in my workshop is I tell the women to imagine that there's a movie camera in your house for a week, and it's going to follow you around the house and how you interact with your partner, and what would that movie camera see? And that's when women begin to think a little bit outside themselves and have like a bird's eye view of how they criticize their partner, withdraw, push them to change, yell and scream, go over the same fights over and over and over again, or the flip side of the coin, accept things, minimize their partner's insensitivities. For example, I had several women in my study who said that when they had breast cancer diagnosed, their men were nowhere to be found emotionally or physically in the support cycle.
Wow.
So that's the first thing I would recommend. And I would ask women to think about, are you being your best self? Because that's the key. You lose that mirror on yourself, and then you begin to get into trouble.
You know, I always find too that when we're not in the right relationship or the healthiest relationship, we don't like ourselves. And that's key, and oftentimes a lot of women dismiss that. So if you're in a good relationship, you're liking, not only are you're caring about the guy, but you're liking who you are and what you're saying and what you're doing, and that works. Tell us, because a lot of women are tuning in to find out, LB, what they have to do to keep love and to sustain love and even to find love. And I know we can spend hours and hours on this, but just give us a few tips so that these women can go away thinking, wow, okay, this is so important, and I've got it.
If you're already in a relationship, these are the well-researched kisses of death for your behavior. Okay, these are kisses. This will kill love, okay? Don't withdraw emotionally. Don't spend your time criticizing. You know, don't begin your sentences with, you know, why do you and how come you and why can't you? And problems get solved in the wrong ways in these relationships. They play history, like you said and then no, I didn't, and you said. So don't play history. The best test of a solid relationship is whether you can be good problem solvers together. So move directly towards the future. What end result do you want? Stop playing "you said this, I said this," because when anxiety gets high, you can't remember things correctly anyway. So problem solve. What do you want to solve? Where do you want to end up? And begin to solve the problem together. If you're looking for love and you're not in a relationship, here are the top things you should do. Keep looking. Keep dating. Date lots of different people. And I am very clear about this. I do not mean have sex with them at all. You're just starting to get to know one, to know someone. Why would you want to give your body to a total stranger? I mean, think about how scary that is, particularly in today's age where there are all kinds of really dangerous guys. So take your time. Make your dates casual. In fact, one of the unusual things I recommend in my book is don't date. Hang out together. Run errands together. Go for coffee. Go to Walgreens or CVS or whatever you've got to do together. See what your man is like with you. Is he patient? Is he impatient? Does he roll with the punches? Can you grocery shop together? Because the majority of couple life is pretty mundane. It's pretty boring. That's where your life is going to be spent, saying to your partner, where should we go eat, and where do you want to go this weekend, and did you call the plumber? I mean, that's where it's going to be. So you better start with something that is less intense. Romance will come later. You know, one of the things that I found in my research was that a lot of these women couldn't know themselves because they were so frightened. And these women are so verbally gifted, and so that's what prompted me to create the cartoon book that I wanted to mention, because for women who are very well defended and don't have time to read, you know, the self-help book, which is called Smart Relationships, then go look at the cartoon book. It's called The Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie, and there you can follow a whole year in the Miss Love Adventures of Cookie and then learn from your own. So that was the first way I ended up reaching some of these very well defended women, was to use cartoons. And it's really sad that I had to do that, but that's what worked.
But you know, I think these women don't have a lot of time, and again, when they're looking at something that maybe has a playful aspect to it, they can remove themselves from it and see it in a totally different light. And I was going to mention that too, because I think that's brilliant, that it's comics in a way, but it still has very pithy, strong information, but it's easier somehow for them to absorb. I want to get back to what you said in terms of physical intimacy and not being sexual with men so easily. Women think that if they're not, many women think that if they're not, and there are all sorts of statistics about this, that if they're not being physically intimate with someone early on, that it's going to, these men are not going to like them. Well, if that's the reason, and I'm sure you agree, for a man to start caring about you, then that's the wrong reason. And I know, not only from myself, but I know from so many clients that I coach and counsel, that once that happens, there's something about the physical intimacy that sort of overshadows the ability to get to know someone and, like you're saying, to spend hang out together, to do tasks together, to really build a friendship and find out what this person is all about. So I totally, totally agree, and I think that's so important and so understated, as you said, in our society. How do
Well, life is upside down now, Joanne. It's upside down. Now we're in a time in our American culture, and probably other cultures, at least Western cultures, where, oops, it's easier to have sex with a guy than to be emotionally intimate. That's upside down, totally upside down. The hardest thing is to begin to become, as you said, friends. Know someone. Know whether you can trust someone. Share your values. What is it like to be with this person? Because when you have sex, you should be making love. And when you make love with your body, your heart, your soul, your mind, your values, your feeling of being accepted and of giving acceptance. I mean, that's where love comes from. Sex is made special and divine and very, very private and invigorating only when it's infused with mutually healthy love. And that sounds old-fashioned and old, but, you know, that's how it is. We are human beings, and that's pretty much the best way to grow your own specialness.
You know, and again, I don't know that it's old-fashioned, but I think it's fantastic advice, LB. And I want to tell a little bit of a story, because what you were talking about, things that women need to avoid to nurture their relationship. I was one day at a gym and working out, and I was near a group of guys who were talking about their relationships, and several of them were married. And here's the lament that I heard from the guys. My wife is always telling me what's wrong with me. One guy says, I can't do anything. And this is true, honest to God. I mean, I'm listening and a little bit enough away so that they don't think that I'm prying, but I really am eavesdropping. And another guy says, I can't do anything right. And another guy just laughs and said, well, you know, sometimes when my wife is talking about what I need to do and what's wrong with me and whatever, I just tune out. I don't pay attention at all.
You've just named, again, you've underscored the two kisses of death to love, criticism and tuning out, okay? I mean, is that really how you'd want your partner to talk to you, to say, you know, Joanne, you never do this, or you know what's the problem with you, Joanne, is? I mean, it's terrible, the lack of reciprocity of kindness that I saw in so many of the women in my study. They didn't realize that to prod and pick and reshape your man is not a way to sustain love. And if your partner isn't giving you the things you need, prodding and picking and criticizing at it certainly isn't going to get it for you.
You know, I once worked with a man who had a hearing aid, and he said when his wife does exactly what we're talking about, criticizes him, whatever, he turns his hearing aid down. So he literally can't hear her. Now, it sounded funny, but in a way it's sad, that, and who knows if she realized it, that imagine this woman going on and on and on and on and berating him, and he's in his own world because he doesn't hear a thing.
And recent studies of why there is an increase in late-in-life divorce, that one of the number one culprits was that sense of withdrawal. When you have withdrawn from your partner, you're on the road towards accelerated unhappiness and possible breakup.
Let's look a little bit at this, the love adventures of Almost Smart Cookie, and share a little bit about what that's about and a day in the life of Almost Smart. Let's do that a little bit, because I think not only is it a cartoon that, like you said, many women find easier to digest and to absorb rather than looking at themselves in different terms. What are some of the things that Almost Smart Cookie talk about and share in a cartoon that draws women into it?
Well, one morning, about 3:30 in the morning, I woke up in a bolt. Because I don't know whether this has happened to you or to any of your listeners, but there are about three workshops in my professional life that I would like to dial back because I was not connecting. And I was beginning to feel that at the beginning stage of doing these workshops. And so one night at 3:30 in the morning or so, I woke up and literally said out loud to the room, I have to bypass their verbal skills, and I have to do something visual. I have to give them a way to listen and learn through a cartoon. And I'm going to invent a character called Almost Smart Cookie. She's an attorney, a family law attorney, a lot of attorneys in my study. And I'm going to create 52 cartoons so you could follow 52 weeks, a whole year, in Cookie's love life. So each of the key findings in my research infuses each of the cartoons. They're all based on a key finding, and each cartoon has three tips. So the reader can follow Cookie. I recommend reading the book in order so you can make sense, but you can pick up and, you know, read any cartoon. So it begins with Cookie choosing a man who's, in her mind, someone she can talk to and very sweet and very mild, and she ends up paying for all his projects, lending him money, and finally it's bankrupting her emotionally and financially. So then she goes and chooses Mr. Excitement, you know, and that is one of the dangers. You know, are you going with a guy because he swept you off your feet? Is he giving you a life? Because one of the problems that the women had in my study is that they are all work and no play. They work and work until they drop. And so what happens is that their life shrinks. it becomes too unidimensional. And so what happens? Mr. Wonderful zooms into their life, and they ride off into the sunset, you know, in his fancy car or horse or motorcycle or whatever, and they get carried away. And if it works out, great, but a lot of these men are controlling. They want you at their beck and call. And so Cookie goes through all these changes. She keeps making the same mistakes. And she also has a lot of problems with her mother, because the role of the mother in the lives of these women is very key. That was one of my really surprising findings. Women found that they, deep down inside, felt badly about surpassing their mothers. So the mother's role in the cartoons has an influencing life on Cookie. Her mom wants her to get married, settle down, and have kids, and Cookie just can't seem to find a guy to do that with.
You know, I think it's so great, because I love the portrayal, and I think, again, I think when we're looking at it more in a cartoon, not only because it's visual, LB, but also because it has a playful quality, and the serious information that's coming through is maybe less painful to sort of absorb and take in. So I commend you on this, because I think it is brilliant, really, really brilliant. We only have a few more minutes, and I want you to be able to leave women with some positive tips as to what they can do to find that man and keep that man and be happy in an intimate relationship.
Well, if someone asked me three tips, get out there. You know, get out there, either emotionally, be out there with your partner. You know, don't put roadblocks to yourself. Don't withdraw. And if you don't have a partner and want one, date lots of different people. Hang out with friends. Slow down the intimacy, and don't put yourself in a compromising situation, such as going back to his place or yours. If you like the guy and you want to keep talking, go to a hotel lobby. They're open all the time. All the time. You can sit there till the next morning and talk. There's always a place to go. Don't put yourself in jeopardy, because a lot of the women in my study acted against their better judgment. So if they want to learn in more depth about this, please go to Amazon and just type in my name in the search box, Leslie Beth, that's all one first name, and the last name, Wish, and my two books will come up. The main one is called Smart Relationships, and as you mentioned already, the other one is the cartoon book called The Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie.
Now, are they available right this moment?
Very moment, yes.
I'm so excited, because that's great for women. Okay. Now, give us a couple more tips.
Okay, there's lots of them. It's okay to be anxious. Tough it out. Don't act on your anxiety. Just be aware that it's going on. And when you're on a date, observe your man's behavior. Is he looking at you? Is his head spinning? Are his fingernails chewed up? Is he interrupting you all the time? Does he talk about himself? Does he eat his food like it's the last meal he's going to have in his life and he's just going to devour it? I mean, pay attention to this. How does he treat the wait staff? Does he call them honey? Does he touch them? Does he not say please and thank you? Does he say things like, give me this? Does he pick his glass up in the air and wave it for someone to see? These are amazing tells about a man's behavior. So get smart. Go read a book about reading people. That would be very important. I do have a section in my book on that, but there are other books that are far more extensive. I love Tanya Ryman's book. Go read some of those, or anything about reading people. Get smart. And the last tip is get mindful. When you're on a date, take a break, go to the bathroom, and ask yourself, am I feeling anxious? Do I have a headache? Do I feel bored? Is my stomach flip-flopping? What signals are you learning from your body about your emotions? And I often coach my clients to think of an animal that the man reminds you of, some shortcut to help you understand him better. Does he remind you of a sheep? Is he totally agreeable? Is he so much of a tiger that he won't let you talk? You know, find shortcuts to finding out what's going on inside you.
You know, I love the fact, excuse me, that you're also asking them to take a look, because this is about that self-evaluation to some extent that we talked about earlier, but to take a look at what they're experiencing with this man and this personal context. So I love the fact that you're asking them to do that check, because oftentimes we don't pay attention to it, and we're thinking, well, maybe it's about something else, and we're not, like you said, we're not reading the cues and the signals, not just about what he's doing, but how we're experiencing it and what we're feeling. And then later on, months later, we say, you know, I knew that. I had that feeling way back when, and I just ignored it.
Oh, my goodness, you are so right. And these women don't know even how to access their intuitive responses. So tell the guy, I got to go to the bathroom, you know, or even if you're with your own partner, wait a second, honey, we've got to put this on hold. I've got to run the bathroom. And spend time in the bathroom saying, what am I doing wrong? Am I criticizing? How can I get us playing this forward? Or anything you need to do to connect mindfully with what's happening now in the present moment.
Well, I love what you have to say. I love the study. I love everything that you're talking about because I think it's so right on and really very important for women. And again, women, we need intimacy. So it's not about shunning it or avoiding it or saying it's not possible. And what you come up with is it is possible and it is important and make that investment. But here are some tools and some ways to do it better so that you can be more secure in the right finding the right partner and in sustaining and keeping the right relationship. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, thank you so much. You've been a delight and certainly shared such very important information. Folks, tell us your website.
Yes, thank you for asking that. I forgot. My website is lovevictory.com.
So that's lovevictory.com. And again, you folks can go to Amazon to take a look at the books. They're out today, Smart Relationships and the cartoon book, The Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie. LB, Dr. Wish, thank you so much. Many blessings to you, and thanks so much for sharing your expertise and all of your wonderful findings with our listeners today. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, and I love this interview and working with you. Thank you. It was a blessing to me, too.
Thank you. My pleasure. Take care.
Okay.
Folks,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, I want to tell you that we are moving from Blog Talk Radio to the Entertainment Network, and starting July 18th, I'm taking a little respite next week to get everything in order for you, and I'm going to be on the Health Cafe Live, and you can look at that at thehealthcafelive.com, and the Women for Women Network, where it's going to be the replay. It's going to be at the Health Cafe Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, and the replay is going to be on the Women for Women Network on Mondays at 8 p.m. And the Women for Women Network, W4WN.com, has voted number one, ranked number one internet radio station in the world. So tune into that. And the Health Cafe Live is voted number four. So I'm excited about this, and I certainly will be back to Blog Talk Radio. And I hope that all of these listeners who have been here will come to the other radio stations and have a listen, because we're in store for some wonderful people like Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, and I hope we have her on again because she is a blessing not only to me but to all of you. And I want to tell you, the first guest that's going to gear up and head up the new station is a colleague of mine, Debbie Mancini, and she is an expert about children and creativity, and we're going to talk about self-esteem and how parents can actually help build the self-esteem in children. And it's so important because all of us can use a healthier dose of self-esteem. And I want to thank you all so much, and have a blessed day, and tune in to the Health Cafe Live. Have a blessed day, and thanks for joining us.
Been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.